Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Less than 2 weeks into the new year, the Grand Slam season is already underway. Welcome to TC Live at the Australian Open. They call it the Happy Slam. And this year, there is even more reason for joy. An extra day of tennis means we're working on the weekend to kick off this grand gathering of the world's best. Here's what's coming up over the next 2 hours. Novak Djokovic has dominated this event unlike any man in history. He's going for 25 major singles titles. How about 11 here in Melbourne? We'll tell you about all the new records the top seed is looking to smash. Plus, Iga Swiatek hoping to conquer this year's major for the very first time. See where the world number one stacks up against a field that is loaded with Grand Slam champions. There is a swarm of new hopefuls on the men's side. Who could check their name off the dubious list of best players to not win a major? Our experts discuss. And with first ball just a couple hours away, Casper and the kids still have a few things to work out. TC Live, always keeping its eye on the ball right about now. Looking at our featured matches on this Saturday in the States, Sunday in Australia. Jannik Sinner getting the party started in Rod Laver Arena against Botik van de Zandschulp. Maria Sakkari and now Hibino meeting for the second time in Melbourne. How about that 10-time champ? Novak Djokovic looking to improve on a 28-match winning streak in Melbourne. Former champ Caroline Wozniacki headlining the night session on MCA. And Aryna Sabalenka beginning the defense of her first major title. A lot to look forward to on this weekend. The returning champs both getting ready to take the court today. Novak Djokovic hasn't lost a match here in 6 years, folks. Going for his 11th title down under. And how about the Americans looking to break through at the Australian Open? Jesse Pegula has made the quarterfinals 3 straight years. Looking to take it that next step. Leading nearly 20 American women in the draw. Jesse Pegula coming on site and has been playing well in the lead-ups. Come on in. Welcome. It is great to have you with us. Get the gang back together. Steve Weissman. We've got the Hall of Famer, Lindsay Davenport, from Sports Illustrated, 60 Minutes, John Wertheim. And, of course, the GOAT herself, 12-time Australian Open champion, Martina Navratilova. Sad that you're not with us, Martina, but great to see you. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
I'm doing great. Different situation for me this year than last year, so I'm so thrilled to be here and great to be with you guys.
Awesome to have you, Martina. And we get an extra day, Lindsay. 15 days. Australia now joining Roland Garros as a three-Sunday event.
You know, what was so surprising is we had to look back to see when Roland Garros added that first Sunday, and it was back in 2006. The question is, why has it taken the other slams so long to also go to 15 days? Because it's a moneymaker for them, no question.
Yep. Nice if that money waterfall down to the players, but these are the tentpole event of our sport. Why not wrap it around 3 weekends? Also, not everyone can go watch tennis during the week. X-ray Sunday session helps. Also, they're coming in hot. I mean, this is not a soft open.
Yes,
I mean, these are good matches they're putting on. So they're coming in with the best.
Three Sunday fun days. Love to see it. And yes, the first round matchups, best I've ever seen at a major. Yeah. Maybe not an exaggeration. We start our show, though, with a couple of big storylines. Guess who's back? Back again. Naomi Osaka, 2-time champ. She's a new mom. Says she's found happiness and inner peace. Carlos Alcaraz, remember, he was injured at the start of last season. Now back as a 2-time major champ. Has never made it past the third round here. What do you expect to see from Naomi Osaka, Lindsay?
Well, first, I think the tour and the fans worldwide are so happy just to see her back playing tennis. And all signs the last few weeks have seen her down under. She looks much happier. She looks at peace. Has her baby girl now. Baby girl's not with her. Stayed back in California. I think anytime you have a Grand Slam champion, 4-time also on hard courts, this is the best hard court player when she was healthy and playing well. Still, it's a big ass 7 matches.
Absolutely. Martina, we saw her play a couple matches in the lead-up in Brisbane, won one of them, lost one of them, but looked like she was hitting the ball as clean as ever. What did you see?
Hitting the ball great. Movement is okay, too. It's just, you know, not having played a match for 18 months, nobody can come out sharps, unless you Kim Clijsters, of course, when the US Open second tournament you play. But, yeah, I think she could go into the draw a little bit, but I don't see her winning. Not quite yet, but hopefully she will again. As she says, she's relaxed now, different perspective on the game, and, yeah, great to have a break either way.
I wonder if you gave her truth serum, what she would say her expectations are. This is a two-time champion. You can say, oh, it's just great to be back here and whatever happened. I got to be thinking that she has a more concrete goal. I think you're right. I mean, seven rounds realistically is a lot to ask. But, you know, she plays a top seed in her first round match. That's a winnable match against Caroline Garcia. Then the draw opens. She won't play a seed her next match. I wonder if she's thinking concretely, I want to get to, say, the middle weekend.
I
don't think a player like that would go down and make this big a sacrifice if she didn't think she could be relevant. The match against Garcia is really going to show us everything. Yeah. And there's going to be nerves to be back on that big a stage. She plays a player who's a former top 10 player, top 5 player, has weapons. It's showtime. And Osaka knows that this is what it's all about.
Yeah, playing a top 16 seed. But the most dangerous of floaters in the draw is a future Hall of Famer, Naomi Osaka. Let's check out the live odds right now. Bet365 to win the whole thing. You can still get plus money, John, on Novak Djokovic, who hasn't lost a match here since 2018.
Yeah, we always sort of say rhetorically, would you take Djokovic on the field? Well, there's your answer. And it's pretty much a coin flip. I guess Alcaraz is, you know, go by the rankings and he's your second choice. Though, as you say, Steve, not much of a track record here. I'm not sure I see a ton of value. Interesting, Tsitsipas reached the final last year, is not among the top six with the odds makers.
It'll be interesting, too. I mean, there was so much talk about Novak and his wrist and his arm. You could see when he was practicing out there, his arm had an arm sleeve on it and that lower part. We'll see how healthy he is. But I don't know, Alcaraz never been past the third round. And his first tournament back, he's been starting the season in Melbourne. So is Sinner. That is a tough ask. They both played late into the season, played some exos, and just didn't want to play any of the lead-up tournaments.
Those two and Medvedev. So three of the guys that are favored to win, Martina, did not play a lead-up event. If it's not Novak Djokovic, who is your favorite, Martina, to win on the men's side?
It's funny because even with a play-in event, everybody's kind of rusty. It's a new season, even though the off-season is not that long. It's still a new season. It's the longest break of the year, right, of that you have. So people are kind of not quite match ready. And on top of that, we've had a few of those players have injuries that couldn't play. Novak has had some questions with his forearm. Alcaraz didn't play just two exhibition matches. So everybody's talking a good game, but we'll see. Everybody's a bit rusty, so that first week would be interesting.
It starts fast. Yeah. It starts really quick in Melbourne. On the women's side, let's check out the odds as well. The world number one, who hasn't lost a match since the fall, Iga Swiatek, is your favorite player, Lindsay, but once again, hasn't been past the semifinals and only did that once.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a different Iga, and her mindset seemed to shift last fall, and 16 matches in a row, had beat three top 20 players at the United Cup. I think this is like her big goal, right? She's never played her best tennis in Australia. I think she's looking to do that, but golf's going to be tough to beat also.
Can you talk about that bottom row? Mira Andreeva, God bless her, a lot of talent. Should she really be number six with the odds? Ange Jabeur has been to three major finals in the last 18 months. That surprises me, but I think you're right. I think Iga comes in a lot of momentum, little tinker on the serve, which I think may end up paying big dividends. I think that top row looks about right.
What do you think, Martina?
Andreeva, really? It's like, okay.
Thank you.
Do something first to put her that high up. I think Jinwen Zheng can be a dangerous player because she keeps improving and she's a very good athlete and she's got a big game. But I put Rybakina slightly above Sabalenka given that she beat her so handily last 2 weeks ago. And, you know, then she defaulted, I think, after the second round last week. But she's done her work. She has matched up and she's got to be a lot of very confident. So, but Iga, I haven't seen that different service motion, but I look forward to seeing that. See how that plays out, because if she adds a couple more miles per hour on that serve, even more dangerous.
Absolutely. We'll see how the courts play as well. The speed will be a big factor for both Iga and Coco Gauff. That final last year, one of the best we've seen between Sabalenka and Rybakina. They are still at the top as well. 2 weeks to figure it all out. There's Coco Gauff on site, getting ready to go, smiling, happy. the top-ranked American in the world getting ready to go here in Australia. We are just getting started on the show. When we come back, we'll break down the biggest storylines on the men's and women's sides, from Nole's quest for history to Coco's chances of conquering a second straight major. It's all happening on TC Live at the Australian Open.
TC Live at the Australian Open is brought to you in part by Bet365, the world's favorite sportsbook. By Tennis Express, we deliver tennis right to your front door. Order today, ships today. And by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
Welcome back. A reminder that TC Live comes your way at 5 o'clock Eastern every day. Two-hour pregame show, the only one in the biz to get you ready for first ball over on ESPN. Then at 11 a.m. Eastern, it is Tennis Channel Encore coverage with Brett Haber and Paul Anacone. Don't want to miss that either. The Australian Open, now a 15-day event. We are starting Saturday in the States, Sunday in Australia, and that means an extra day to see Novak Djokovic in action. He is starting on day one, and this is a guy that is going for all the records the sport ever has to offer. I don't think he'll get every record, Martina. don't worry. 1,000 weeks inside the top 10, probably not going to get that. Nonetheless, how about these numbers? 25 is what he's going for, to stand alone above all others. Did you ever think we were going to get to this, Lindsay?
Oh, it was, that race seemed so tight. What was it at one point? Federer at 20, Rafa at 17.
It wasn't. Well, it was 20.
And Novak, down at like 11 or 12. Seemed he was so far out of reach. And when all is said and done, he's going to be like looking way back in the rearview mirror. He's just remarkable. No signs of slowing down. He's going to add a couple this year, no doubt.
Let's hear from him inside the press room as he goes for more history.
Look, it's no secret that I verbalize my goals, and I say clearly that I, you know, want to win every slam that I participate and play on. It's no different this year. You know, I'm just hoping I can start the season in a way that I have been starting most of my seasons and throughout my career with a win here in Australia, in Melbourne. I hope that, I'm going to be able to if not play at the level that I did last year, then be very close to that, because that was, one of the best tennis levels that I've played.
It's absolutely incredible, John. You got to spend some time with Novak doing a great piece on 60 Minutes. Well, what did you learn about him and his kind of philosophy in coming towards these records?
It's interesting. I think he's beyond the false modesty. I mean, he knows it sounds hollow to say, boy, I'm just hoping to do my best. He knows what's at stake. He knows how absurd these records are. And he said something really interesting to me. He said, I was a chaser for so long, and now I want to be a creator. So I think he's kind of mentally moved on past this goat race, which, to his credit, he said it meant something to him. He's really proud that he was able to eclipse Roger and Rafa. I think he sort of mentally switched to a new phase where it's about building, creating, thwarting these young kids. But sort of he's found motivation, even though the two guys that motivated him for so long aren't on the scene at this tournament.
Oh, me. Yeah, it's, he's found the secret sauce to longevity and really being able to peak for the majors. That's what tennis has become all about, just the majors. So then you really schedule yourself perfectly. And Novak has found the perfect sauce. So I don't see anybody beating him unless they get a lot better in Alcaraz to improve, especially 3 out of 5. And right now, Father Tom may be the only one that beats Novak, maybe injuries, but right now, tennis-wise, he beats you down 2 out of 3. A lot of people have a chance. 3 out of 5, he is so efficient the way he plays with his stroke production, doesn't have to run around his backhand to hit the forehand, so he's really, really efficient in energy conservation. And then he spreads the court so much, he gets everybody else so tired. Even if they get 2 sets, they cannot get 3. So Father Tom is the best chance of beating Novak Djokovic at this stage. Yeah.
It's so true. And yet, this is the year he turns 37. All the other players we talk about that are at his age.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy price, Priceline.
We're like, oh, when are they going to hang it up? Why are they still coming out there? Novak, it's like he's the number one player in the world. Nobody can beat this guy. He's got a projected path to number 11. What do you see as potentially a roadblock for him, Lindsay?
It's interesting. Starts off against a player who won the juniors last year at Roland Garros. I don't know with Novak about how far ahead he looks in the draw, right? I think it's all about managing himself and his injuries getting through. Certainly, it would be great to see him play Andy Murray in the third round, maybe Ben Shelton in the fourth round, who had such a great run here last year. But really, you look towards the semis when you have Novak. You almost like skip those first few rounds. Yeah. And a great sign that he's playing on Sunday. I think if his arm or his wrist was really bothering him, he'd want as late a start as possible. The fact also that he can play on the opening day, he knows also you want to manage yourself. Now over 15 days, he's got 7 matches in 15 days. I want to start as soon as possible so I get the most amount of rest if needed. He's a master at these kind of events. He knows how to handle himself. He knows how to physically stay fresh towards the end. I think it's tough to see anyone beating him.
And I think that's a really important point. I mean, peek behind the curtain. Novak ain't playing on the opening day if Novak doesn't want to. So the fact that he was agreeable to this, I think that answers a lot of questions about his wrist. And then we showed that draw. I mean, the only other top 10 player in his quarter is Tsitsipas, who comes in with no momentum. And, oh, yeah, that's who Djokovic beat last year in the final. So as if everything else weren't lining up, that draw is pretty kind to him as well.
It certainly is. And to put it in perspective, there's a few 16-year-olds playing on the women's side in the main draw. They were one when he won his first title in Australia. That it's crazy, the longevity as well, that he's been dominant for so long. There is a young buck, though, that has beaten him before and has been number one in the world before. Carlos Alcaraz coming in to this event, missed it last year, was injured. Let's hear from Alcaraz inside the press room about trying to get back to that top spot.
Yeah, I did a good preparation coming to this year. I think right now we have to improve with the things that I didn't do well last year, for example, and trying to be better with my team and myself, obviously. But I think this year it's gonna be a good one.
I like that confidence out of Carlitos. He won 6 titles last year. He won Wimbledon. Martina got back to number one in the world. Now he's chasing once again, but can do it by the end of this tournament, depending on the results. He said himself, there are things I can do to get better. What do you think Carlos can improve on?
Most of all, managing his emotions and managing his energy in the 3 out of 5, because he's had issues with his cramps on different body parts. Different locations, Paris, Cincinnati. And so that's the biggest thing. I think he knows when to pull the trigger on the drop shots. He knows how to play the game. The faster surface should be helpful somewhat to him, because then all the weapons pay off more. But just to be able to manage that, how much energy you have for 3 out of 5 set match versus a 2 out of 3 against the top players, particularly, again, it all comes back to Novak.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. This is the first time that Carlos will be down under as a favorite, as really a rock star now. When he was last there a couple of years ago, he was a breakout star. People were curious to see what he could do. He was still a newcomer. Now he's a favorite to win the title. We'll see how those expectations weigh on him. Steve, we were also talking about at the commercial, coach isn't with him. Mm-hmm. Longtime coach. He has his coach's former coach with him. Don't think it'll make a big difference, but obviously a little different in the camp there. We know that he does rely, looks over awful lot to his camp and his group there. But just a couple of changes came late also to Australia. So we'll see if he's ready to go in the first round.
Yeah, Juan Carlos Ferro had a knee surgery, so couldn't make the trip to Melbourne. Nonetheless, his projected road to the title at the Australian Open looks like this. And what do you think of it, John?
I mean, you look at his draw. There are a lot of sort of annoying players. Mm. There are a lot of players. Even that first round, I doubt he's going to lose to Richard Gasquet. On the other hand, it might be his last Australian Open for Gasquet, a veteran, former top 10 player. That's a little bit of a variable. Dan Evans could be tricky. Bublik, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, I don't see him losing in week one, but I think there's some players there that might annoy him, which may be a disguised blessing, but I think his draw is much tougher than Novak's.
Martina Lindsay brought up the point. It's a different mindset this year. You're coming in as a two-time major champion. You're coming in as somebody who folks are gunning for you. How does he deal with that?
Well, I think he handled it pretty well last year because he's number one the year before, and he ended up having a great year this last year. Where everybody knows how to play him now. It was the sophomore year, so he handled it beautifully. The only person he couldn't handle was Novak. I would like to see him, especially now that Juan Carlos is not there, to see him just stay on the court a little more and don't look at the box after every single point, trying to get advice or encouragement. I mean, the fans are on his side. It's not like he's the favorite and everybody's rooting against him. So just manage that energy a little bit better on the court and think things through yourself. I think that might give him confidence as well.
That'd be interesting. We were talking about the draw. Fourth round, Tommy Paul. Tommy Paul had a great run in Melbourne last year, was able to beat him last summer. That one could be a big match if Carlos isn't quite ready to go at the first major. Tommy Paul's going to be ready. He likes playing in Melbourne also, so look forward to that one if it happens.
Could be the third man in the Open era to win three major titles before turning 21. Mm-hmm. So we shall see. Hasn't been past the third round. I expect him to do that this year. Those are your two favorites on the men's side. But still to come, she hasn't lost a match since September. Are you taking Iga Świątek or the field? We will break down the top storylines on the women's side at this year's Australian Open. Davenport and Average Alova, Wertheimer and Weissman back with you. 65 major titles between the four of us. There are 14 major champions in the women's field this year. Lots of opportunity. Let's hear from some of the top contenders as they prepare to take the court.
I feel really great. I had an incredible season last year. I improved a lot as a player and as a person, and I did a really great preseason. We worked a lot, and I feel like we improved a lot. So I feel really great and feel like I'm ready to go.
I'm kind of taking it step by step, so I'm not looking that much forward. I remember last year I was looking, I was kind of analyzing what I can do throughout the whole year, and it was really, I got tired just thinking about it, So this year I'm just thinking about until the end of Australian Open, and then I'm going to think about my next goals.
All right, one step at a time. Well, yeah. We like to hear that from Iga. Comes in as the world number one. She's won 16 matches in a row, Martina, but has only been past the fourth round a single time at the Australian Open. Why do you think that is?
Probably just because it's the first tournament of the year more than anything. Especially the top players have a harder time getting enough rest in between the previous season and the new season. Maybe the weather also. Polish people are not used to that kind of a heat. So it could be that. Or just ran into good players, maybe was too nervous. It could be a whole bunch of things. So I think she's doing a good job thinking just this tournament, just this, not the rest of the year, just stay in the moment, literally play it one day at a time, and don't look too far ahead because there's nothing you can do about that. You can only deal with what's in front of you today. So I think her mindset is much, much better. And as well, there's some tweaks in her game that might make the necessary improvement needed to win this thing.
Hot take,
it may have been a blessing for her that she lost that number one ranking late last year. Then she regained it. She had a lot of momentum, really played well to close out the year. She was terrific at United Cup. But, yeah, I mean, she should be the number one seed. That's her ranking. But she's only won one major off of clay. She's never even reached the final in Melbourne. I think she's probably, on paper, your favorite. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if another player. I mean, I don't think it's anything close to the men's side where, you know, Iga versus the field, I think you got to take the field, no?
I would agree with that. Billie Jean King says you got to see it to be it. I haven't seen it yet, so we'll see. She can certainly prove it, Lindsay.
Yep.
But the road to is not an easy one. I mean, she hasn't been to a final, as John said. First round, she's playing somebody who won this whole thing just 4 years ago in Sophia Kennan. Second round, it's either another former champion or a finalist.
I love what she said in press, is she's trying to learn from last year's mistake, and that's number one. And maybe this draw will make her focus from the very first round. She knows she can't afford to get down on herself, look too far ahead, especially when you're playing all of these great players right off the bat, starting off with Kennan, then Collins or Kerber. It was Collins who beat her here a couple of years ago in a semifinal that Iga was a heavy favorite in. It's funny because the Australian Open plays fast, but this Grand Slam, the speed changes more so than any other major. A couple of years, it was lightning fast. Now, I think that really hurt Iga for a couple of years. Don't think it's quite as fast. It's certainly a fast hardcore, but I don't think it's like lightning anymore. So that gives Iga just a little bit more time. She needs a little bit more time. She does not like to play on super fast courts. So that has been a huge problem for her as well. She needs that little bit of time to with her grips and to get her forehand. I think things are lining up more in her favor. I don't also see a 100-degree day in the first couple of days, the first week. Who knows in the second week? I think that kind of heat really debilitates her as well.
I'm looking forward to that first-round matchup.
Yeah.
Kennan and Świątek. That is one of those blockbuster matches that we have in the first round. The returning champ, though, is Aryna Sabalenka. Check that box off. Got to number one in the world last year as well, Martina. But what is the pressure like coming back after winning your first major?
Nice problem. you don't have to doubt whether you can win it. You did it. It was her first one as well, so far the only one, but she's not done. Whenever I came to a tournament when I won it the year before, I had extra confidence. I didn't look at extra pressure. I just looked at extra confidence. So she should be thrilled about it. I'm sure there's big photos of her from winning last year. So that makes you feel good. And obviously the surface suits her. About Iga and the court and Sabalenka, Iga has the most complete game of anybody. But on a faster court like this, she can get hit off the court by somebody like Sabalenka, which is possible. Again,
it's interesting. Sabalenka cracked in the U.S. Open final against Goff, and she's spoken a lot about how the crowd really got to her. Like, she was not prepared for that, which shame on her, shame on her team. But that crowd was always going to be 98% for Goff. Wasn't prepared, and it got to her mentally. She can't afford to have that same mistake happen again. Well, curious to see if she comes into this major with a little bit of a different mindset, if she tries to control things a little differently. Amazing accomplishment winning it 12 months ago. But once you win one, it becomes about how do I win more? Mm. She wants to stay at number one, get to number one, start to dominate. You've got to win more majors. You can't afford that mental lapse that she had in the final against Goff.
She's been so consistent, made the semifinals at all four majors last year. Also had a hiccup at Roland Garros in that match as well. So a couple of matches where she mentally wasn't able to hold up. But hearing from her leading up to this event, she says, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Seems like her headspace, you're shaking your head. I feel like her headspace is in the right spot.
I feel like I'm the cartoon villain twirling my mustache here. Wimbledon, very winnable match late in the tournament, let it slide. As you say, that U.S. Open final, we all credit to Coco Gauff, but kind of let that one slip. And then rematch of last year's final against Rybakina. She won three games a week ago.
Yeah.
So she's coming in, the player she beat in the final last year, she lost 0-3 to. I mean, nice player. Yeah. She won this event and has stayed at the top echelon, but a lot of opportunities have really slipped through her fingers since then.
How much should we put into the warm-up match?
0-3?
Enough.
Enough.
You don't put anything in it?
No, it's not good. Yeah. I mean, if I'm coming to a tournament, that bothers me more than losing to Coco at the U.S. Open because I got nervous. But getting hit off the court like that, the way she did against Rybakina, that can't give you much confidence. That's not helpful.
All right. We'll see. Returning champ looking to go back-to-back. Somebody hasn't done that in Australia since Victoria Azarenka. Wow. It's been over a decade since somebody went back-to-back at the Australian Open. And speaking of her, guess what? Exactly. Our producer, Mark Husk, was right on. He's like, we're going to show you Victoria Azarenka getting ready to go in the gym. Two-time champ at the Australian Open. More TC Live on the way, including today's match previews. Who could be primed for an early upset? Find out later in the show. Welcome back to TC Live as we lead you up to first ball on day one of the Australian Open. Back in our studios, I'm Steve Weissman. It's hard to believe that just 1 year ago, Rafa Nadal was the top seed on the men's side. In fact, with Nadal out and Roger Federer now retired, this will be the first major without those two legends in a quarter century. For more stats like that, make tennis.com your online information source throughout the Australian Open and the entire 2024 season. Steve Tignor tells you what to watch for at this year's event. And John Burcock writes about the eight moms in the women's draw. Download the tennis app or visit the website now. Time now for our daily forecast with Fox Weather.
Hey there, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather meteorologist Craig Herrera. Here's today's Australian Open forecast. Got some partly cloudy conditions out there. Watch for the winds. The wind's picking up over in Melbourne. Temperatures, by the way, right about low to mid 80s. Beautiful once we get through a little bit of the wind, though. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device. Best of luck to all the players out there. Have a great day.
All right, thanks so much. Looking good. Still to come on the show, Mum's the Word. The AO, an extension of Mother's Day. We'll tell you all about the moms in action. Plus, we'll show you who picked up trophies on their way to Melbourne. And our Bet365 match preview focuses on Jannik Sinner. But first, it involved backhands, but could be considered a backhanded compliment. John Wertheim goes unstrung on the best male player who hasn't won a major. You may be surprised who he picks. Back on TC Live, Novak Djokovic is on the verge of more history, going for his 25th major singles title, which would put him atop the list of any human to ever pick up a racket. As John Wertheim reports, while Djokovic has been hoarding trophies, many others are still looking for their first.
It's the aim of any pro tennis player to win as many titles as possible. But here's one title that brings with it ambivalence. It's a backhanded or forehanded compliment. And that title is this: best player never to have won a major. The distinction is both a compliment and a slight. You're good enough to take one of the sport's ultimate prizes, but you have not taken the essential last step yet. The men's game has served up only four major winners over the past 3 years. So who does that leave? Well, Alexander Zverev came within a game, a serving game, of winning the 2020 U.S. Open. But as if that failure brought more scar tissue than confidence, Zverev hasn't come close to winning big since. Norway's Casper Ruud has been to three major finals over the last 18 months. But those runs seem to be more about overachievement than close but not quite hopefulness. Stefanos Tsitsipas has been to multiple major finals and reached four additional major semifinals, but his stock is currently heading in the wrong direction. Which brings us to the winner, such as it is, Jannik Sinner. The Italian is only 22 and is coming off a year that saw him finish at number four in the rankings, which is also the number of titles he won. Now let's confer a fifth title. Yes, for our money, he is the best player without a major. Sinner blends power, precision, and poise into a tight bundle. He has the stamina and professionalism and steady disposition to play best of five sets for seven matches. He now has momentum on his side, too, coming within a match of winning the ATP World Tour Finals and then a slew of Davis Cup heroics. He finished 2023 on a roll, including multiple wins over Novak Djokovic, which might be the best current barometer of a player's potential to win a major. Sinner has a rival, a slightly younger rival, to push him. Yes, Carlos Alcaraz has two majors already. For Sinner, it must be a source of optimism, not discouragement. If he can do it, why can't I? It's a good question without a good answer.
All right,
the current rankings would say it's Sinner, but we have been debating this since we got in this morning in the green room.
Hasn't been to a Grand Slam final.
Define our terms. We need some semantics here.
It is subjective, but I would say the overall achievements of others would make them more best yet to win a major. I mean, you've got Zverev there, who's won multiple ATP finals, has gotten up to two in the world. Martina, who would your pick be on the men's side as the best player that hasn't won a major yet?
I will rephrase this for you. So for me, it's Zverev because of the body of work and the opportunities he's had. But Sinner has not become a better player, and I think he's the one most likely from that group to win a major.
There we go.
Perfectly said.
Yeah. There's
perfectly
our wisdom. Said.
Current level right. Sinner. Right.
Yeah.
Accomplishments but, not yet. And hasn't right. been to but, a Grand Slam final.
Right.
He's only 22. No, I don't think you can have somebody that early in their career that's best to yet win a major.
So if we say best player never to won a major, do we mean the player that's poised, that's best poised, best positioned
no.
to break through?
No.
Or
no.
do we mean someone no. who
you changed
has
the narrative there.
I'm just asking questions.
I mean, we didn't get that Casper Ruud on that graphic. He's been to two in the world.
Do we really think Casper? Do we really think of Casper? All right, Martina.
Why are you throwing so much
Marty.
Shit at Casper?
What about poor Tsitsipas? Two Grand Slam finals, a set yes. away from winning Roland Garros, won the World Tour finals,
we think he's
four other semis.
He's on the brink of breaking through, we're saying.
No,
but that's different.
Right. Yeah,
that's different. Breaking through. Martina, help us out.
Jump in here, Marty.
Yeah, it was Ruud for me doesn't have the big weapon to bother people. He doesn't have the big game that Sinner brings to the table, or even Zverev with his back end and serve. They have bigger weapons. And so Ruud for me, if I'm playing well, I'm not going to lose to Ruud, but I'm playing well, I could still lose to Sinner or even Zverev. That's how I look at it.
I want to throw another name in there that we didn't mention at all. How about Grigor yeah. Dimitrov, who's won a World Tour Finals, been to three in the world, three-time major semifinals, quarters at every major, playing really well right now.
Yeah.
There were
what's
three.
What's the best
three
result in a major?
Semifinals.
One right. semi.
Three.
Right. Three semis. Okay. Never a final.
No.
So the final's a big thing for you.
I guess.
Then Zverev.
I never knew that. I guess.
Right. Then,
I guess.
Gotta make a major final.
Well, I guess.
Zverev's your guy. He was serving for a major.
Yeah.
He didn't just
no.
get to a final.
Listen, he's not my guy.
I mean, he's a possible choice. I think, can we just big picture, like, we come to praise and not to bury. We're talking about elite players. Good on them. Any one of them could break through. There are a lot of players who would kill to be in this conversation. So we're taking some shots here. But big picture, these guys are all doing pretty well.
They are. Fair. I mean, but as long as Novak's still playing, I don't know if they have a great
when
shot.
When are we doing the
through.
Women? Are we going to do that this week?
Yeah, tomorrow. We've got 15
okay.
days.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
All right. A lot more to get to here.
Yeah. All right. These guys never had to worry about that.
No.
Guys,
they just won majors right
exactly.
away.
Exactly.
It's like,
just
come out the womb winning majors.
Off.
I don't
right.
think you compare Martina and Lindsay together. But
how old were you when you won your
yeah.
first
yeah.
major? Pretty early. All right. We'll do the women, though. That's good. We'll have a robust discussion there, and maybe we'll have our terms better defined.
Although a lot of women
well.
Have won majors. So, you know, we have 14 right. Grand Slam champions in the draw.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Not as many on the men's side. No. But a lot of those women, by the way, are now mothers. Does the Australian Open need to expand their nursery and playroom? We will explain the influx of new moms in the 2024 draw next. Welcome back. Inching closer to first ball at the Australian Open. And one of the biggest stories at this year's event is the return of Naomi Osaka. Had her daughter Shai in July. Is playing major tennis for the first time in more than a year. The two-time AO champion is excited to get back on court. And here we are. Take a look at this. We've got eight mothers in the draw. Four of them are Australian Open champions. Osaka, Kerber, Wozniacki, Azarenka. But a lot of mums, Lindsay, and you have experience playing, winning titles as a mother. Tell us about it.
Can we just look at Aiden? Yeah. Taylor's yeah. back. He's so cute. Oh, my goodness. Every time I see him. But by the way, there's two ladies on that board with two kids,
mm-hmm.
Caroline and Tatiana Maria. That is a heck of an effort. And both of them traveling with both their kids and the whole family. And it is a lot to manage. And some people do it really seamlessly. And other players, it's a little bit more stressful and more of a challenge. So I think for all of these women, it's great to see. It sends a great message all around the world and to people and players of all ages anywhere of what can be done. I'm looking forward to one of them winning one soon. And whether it's here in Australia or later this year, I just feel like it's coming. It's coming soon.
How did it change your perspective? Because a lot of them talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it was just way different on tour. I traveled full time with my son, and we went from when he was about 3 months old, and I stopped when he was 12 months. One of the reasons I stopped was because traveling with him and taking him away from his father, my husband, was just getting too hard for us, and my husband couldn't travel. So it just throws a whole different dimension in. But there, I loved when I was done with practice or after my match, getting to him as soon as I could. You know, and for other players I've seen this generation, they feel better not traveling with their kids and trying to just focus on the tennis when they're on the road. So, as we say, to each their own. Yeah. And everyone, it's not easy to manage no matter how you do it.
Yeah, and Osaka has said it's best for Shai to stay at home in this early stage of life. So Naomi is on her own in Melbourne, Martina. We saw her play a couple matches in the lead-up. She won one of them, lost one of them. But what's a realistic, successful event for Naomi Osaka?
I guess not to beat herself, you know, just play her best tennis that she's capable of playing right now, or not letting her nerves get in the way. And it also depends on what the draw is like. But she plays Garcia first round, yep. Right? And and Garcia has not had the greatest last 6 months. So she has to look at it as a great opportunity. And the draw may open up after that, play a couple more matches after that. Now she's in the round of 16. And, you know, now you're like in the second week and your confidence is back. And the game is certainly there. It's just a matter of finding it again.
That looks like Osaka body language that we've seen there. John, she says, tennis is something I live for, but not the reason I'm alive. Well, what have you taken from what you've heard from her leading up to this event?
Yeah, I mean, her press conferences do seem like she really is refreshed. You talk about the perspective that Lindsay had after childbirth. It's been interesting. I think, first of all, we need to really applaud the WTA. They've made some adjustments. They've changed their maternity policies. They've tinkered with the rankings. They've created this hospitable environment for moms to return. And then one thing I think is interesting about Naomi Osaka, she's talked a lot about perspective and logistics. She had a human life inside her. I mean, there's a physical adjustment after carrying a child and, you know, 9 months of pregnancy. She's really talked a lot more about the emotional than the physical, which has been interesting to me. But again, you know, 8 players in the draw are mothers, and I think that the WTA deserves some credit here for creating this climate.
Another multiple major champion who's won at the Australian Open that is back is Angie Kerber. Yeah. We saw her return 10 months later after having her kid at the United Cup, helped lead Germany to the title there. What did you think of her performance, Lindsay?
I thought it was great to see her back on court, and she was away from the game a little bit longer. She also was struggling a little bit before she left to have her child, so I think it might take her just a little bit longer to be back, but there's a different perspective, obviously, for her coming back. She's so excited to be back, incredibly fit. She's going to get her game back going. She just was a little bit rusty, but it was fun to see her out there competing. Did a phenomenal job when her team needed her. So a great re-entry for her, no doubt.
We talk about Osaka. She's 26 years old. Angie Kerber's 35. Yeah. What's the difference, Martina, returning at 35 as opposed to 26?
Big difference. And I think in the future, you will see more players doing just this, having their kids in their 20s and then coming back and playing. Because now the time for playing and being at your best has much, much longer, right? It used to be maybe 30. 30 was pushing it. So you had maybe 8 good years. Now you might have 16 great years. So the it's much easier to come back after a kid and still get to the top of your form, obviously, at 26.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I was going to say one more name is added with Ash Barty. I know that's a long shot, but maybe in 2025, 2026.
Exactly.
Come on.
Young enough to do
she's
it.
Young enough.
Exactly.
Definitely young enough for that. So yeah, everything gets more difficult when you get older. And some bodies, I talked to Chris, and she felt better after she had a kid, but some bodies never recover after a kid. So it's all very individual. It depends on each woman, what kind of childbirth they had, what kind of pregnancy they had, and how the body rebounds after that.
That first round against Danielle Collins can be tough, tough for Angie Kerber. We did see Ash Barty, though, watching some tennis.
Yeah, that was great to see.
Child.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
With child.
Still in there. Caroline Wozniacki, we talked about her returning last summer. Had some really great results. Pushed Coco Gauff to 3 sets at the U.S. Open. And now she's committed to a full year. There's Olivia.
Yep.
First hits
so
on labor. How amazing is that?
And Caroline said she loved it. Loved the atmosphere. Loved the cheers. So cute. You know they're going to be little studs.
Yep.
James, her son, also younger, but her husband and father and NBA player. They're just the most adorable kids you've ever seen. It's interesting, though. Caroline, I like the way she's going about it, where she's playing where it makes sense, not only for her, but also her family, which you have to do with two kids. And all signs pointing, she's going to skip the Middle East. She's going to come back, get ready for Indian Wells in Miami. She's playing where she wants to play, where she feels like she can play well and what makes sense for her family. I like that she has that ability to be able to make those decisions. So good for her.
Yeah, I mean, I think some players, you know, they're pregnant and they sort of look into Angie Kerber, I think, said, listen, I'm going to map out my comeback. Naomi Osaka, I don't think we thought she was going to walk away from tennis. I mean, Caroline Wozniacki is a different story. She walked away, had two children. Then I think she said, you know what? Wait a second.
Yeah.
A, it might be kind of cool to have my kids on the court watching me play and watching me hit balls. And I also think that, you know, your priorities change. And it's interesting. Her comeback is very different than a player who, like Naomi, where she gets pregnant and sort of says, all right, well, here's how I'm going to map out returning. I think with Caroline, it's much more of a surprise, but that changes her perspective too coming back.
Well, I think she said when she was with us and watching some of the matches, she thought, okay, I still can reach this level. And she stayed incredibly fit. She was practicing a lot. And I think that came about, you're absolutely right, by just saying, hey, I can do this, and having the support of her family.
The old TC bump. We've seen it happen time and time again.
Taylor, too.
With Taylor, Eubanks, the whole crew. We'll see if, you know, Wozniacki, if that happens again. And by the way, Alina Svitolina, last year, I think one of the most underrated stories, her coming back so soon after having her kid, came back in Charleston, then makes the quarterfinals at Roland Garros, the semifinals at Wimbledon. And by the way, playing great right now, Martina, beat Wozniacki on her way to the final in her warm-up event, was a set away from taking out Coco Gauff in Auckland.
Yeah, I think having a kid really calmed her down emotionally. She's much more put together on the court, playing more aggressively. I think she's feeling more brave. I gave birth, so I can do this too. I can move forward more and come to the net. And she's played great tennis. So she's definitely not to be overlooked. I think her nerves are just different now. And I think she'll be able to handle that situation if she gets into that position to win again.
Yeah, I mean, the wrinkle there, too, is obviously the husband and the child's father is a tennis player as well. So all the logistics are different. But, you know, it's you know this better than anyone. It's a challenge having kids.
Yeah. The challenge playing, it's a challenge trying to raise them anywhere, right? But this was that match we were talking about where Svitolina and Wozniacki met in the very first round in Auckland. And Wozniacki wanted more matches going into the Australian Open and wasn't able to get them. Svitolina was sharp. She was ready to go. And the interesting thing, she was more consistent than Wozniacki. That's normally something that Caroline does better than anyone. But it was Svitolina who really relied on her fitness, made very few unforced errors, was getting balls back in the court. And it was Caroline who was forced to go for more and was missing. And it was Svitolina who was able to come through pretty comfortably in straight sets and really puts her in a good frame of mind for Melbourne.
You know, on the subject of moms triumphing in Auckland, Svitolina, what she did was absolutely terrific, but I understand there's some precedent for moms winning in Auckland.
Look at this. Oh, Jack.
2008.
Jack. He was a Nike kid straight out the
door. There he was.
And now he's back to Nike. Yeah. So,
yep, looked a little different.
Looks like Jagger.
Oh, we love that.
Yeah.
Future Horned Frog.
Well played, LD.
There he is.
That's amazing. Lindsay, you brought up, you know, best woman to have not won a major yet. And Svitolina kind of fits that category.
Yeah,
no?
We're going to get there, Steve. Okay. Don't jump the gun. We still have 14 more shows. Come on. I'm going to give all my answers away today.
She's, you know, I feel like she's been more aggressive since she's come back from having the kid as well. Martina, have you seen Svitolina playing a little bit more aggressive?
Definitely. She's going for bigger serves and she's moving more inside the court. She's not running back to the baseline, or at least she's not 10 feet behind the baseline for so many shots. She's more like 3-4 feet behind the baseline, getting more better looks at balls and going for the she really teed off on some forehands that I haven't seen prior to the baby. Just, you know, really going for it. So, yeah.
Well, it's not a TC Live if we don't get one of Lindsay's kids involved. So Jagger Leach, day one. Love to see it. See if we get the other ones throughout the rest of the 15 days that we have here. Taking a look at our featured matches on day one. Jannik Sinner kicks it off on Rod Laver Arena. Tough one against Botik van de Zandschulp. And then we got Maria Sakkari in action. Novak Djokovic, Caroline Wozniacki, Arena Sabalenka, and more. We're talking American hopefuls down under when we come back after a quick break here on TC Live.
Well, it is the Ace King himself, John Isner, making his TC Live debut Thursday and Friday, January 18th and 19th, right here on the big couch. We're having him sit to take away his height advantage. The man who led American men's tennis for more than a decade will help us break down all the action from Melbourne. Can't wait to have Big John transition from pro player to once again joining us here on Tennis Channel. And speaking of great Americans, it is time to get our expectations of some of the Americans playing today in action down under. Not all the Americans, but Taylor Fritz, straight out the gate, is playing. This is the guy who's the top-ranked American man. 12 seed, lost in the second round last year, but a big opportunity then to gain points. Glass half full. Plays Facundo Diaz Acosta first. John, what are your expectations for Taylor Fritz this fortnight?
Yeah, about 80 spots in the ranking separate the two, which bodes well for the higher seeded player. Taylor knows this as well as anyone. His results at majors have not kept pace with his results throughout the year. This should be, they never played before. This ought to be a match he gets through. And then last year he lost in the second round. We'll see if he can do better this year.
Got to five in the world last year, but only made it past the third round at one major, Martina. Is this the year he makes multiple deep runs?
I hope so. I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't do better at majors. That serves. He gets a lot of quick points. So physically, 3 out of 5 should not be that big a problem for him. Just a matter of believing, I think, and keeping that that energy going over 3 out of 5. You know, 2 out of 3 is just a little bit easier to manage. That emotion and the energy, and maybe he just needs to get a little more fired up but be able to sustain it.
I mean, that's the question, right? Someone who plays so well at other tournaments and gets to a major and doesn't, it's either mental or physical. So it's either the pressure gets to him, the nerves get to him, or physically he struggles in 3 out of 5 sets. It's one or the other. And so you hope that it's a conversation with the team in trying to problem solve on what, how do we improve on this? Because if he wants to get back into the top 10, if he wants to make a push into the top 5, if he wants to win a major, which really is everyone's goal, that has to be solved.
I think he's got a decent draw. I would take him over Tsitsipas in the fourth round. Once he gets to the quarters, it's Djokovic, and that has not been a favorable matchup thus far.
But I think quarterfinals, that would be a great way to start the year. That would be the goal. Yep.
Big step for Taylor Fritz. Then we've got Francis Tiafoe, who is in the Sinner-Rublev quarter. Made the final 8 here back in 2019, Martina. Hasn't been past the third round since, and he's got one of those tough popcorn openers against Borna Coric. How do you see that one going?
Both guys are capable of beating just about anybody at the top of their game, but also neither has played particularly well like the last few months. So I think it's a 50-50 proposition, and Francis just needs to get fired up and impose himself. He's got a more physical game than Coric and needs to bring it.
What's the pathway to victory for Francis in this matchup?
He's got to use his weapons. He's got the bigger forehand. He's got the bigger serve. He's got to use it. He's got to be willing to play offensive tennis and control the flow of the match. And Coric, it's a tough match. It's going to be physical. But Francis has the finishing power. He's got to use it on these quick courts.
Yeah, we talked about Alcaraz here without Juan Carlos Ferrero. That's knee surgery. He'll be back. Francis made a coaching change in the offseason. I think kind of went under the radar a little bit. He was with Wayne Ferreira for more than 3 years. This will be his first major with a new coach. What do we say, Francis? Every great guy, love the spirit, love how he feeds on the crowd. Can he make it a physical match? Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't.
Made the top 10 for the first time last year. A lot of good signs for him. Still got Jordi Arcanada with him, who's been through, you know, everything with him. So I like this for Francis Tiafoe. How about the return of Amanda Anisimova? She is back. Former Grand Slam semifinalist, took 8 months off to focus on her mental health. Went to college for a little bit. Says she's in a good position right now as a new coach and Mark Lucero. What are your expectations for her?
I'm thrilled to see her back competing and to see her kind of give it another go, because the sport got the best of her for a little bit of time, and it was a hard watch, especially for those really close to her. They just didn't know what to do. So I give her a lot of credit for stepping back for a little bit. I think a lot of players actually can look towards Ash Barty in that regard, because Ash Barty was right around 18, 19 years old when she said, hold on, you guys, this is way too much right now for me to handle. Stepped back for a couple of years and then came back to win her majors and get to number one in the world and really dominate women's tennis. Amanda also realizing that she needed to take a break. It's great to see her back out on court. She's got a different perspective. Again, I mean, it's maybe a little early for her to really believe that she can make a run. She's got that natural talent. She's a great ball striker. I think she's going to have a big year. I just think it might be just a little soon here down under.
It's a tough first round against Ludmila Samsonova, another big-time hitter, John.
I think Anna Samova wins that match. Okay. She's leading the head-to-head. Samsonova lost both of her matches to start the season. Martina was talking about how these elongated careers help players return from maternity leave. Well, here's another benefit. A player can take a year off for sort of a mental health reset and come back. Great to see her back. Yep. Nova Southern's loss. That's where Amanda was taking classes.
I think she's still in
school.
She's
all right. Tennis's gain if she has to take classes. Great to see her back. I think she wins this first match against a top 16 seed, though.
Hope so.
Okay. What do you think, Martina? I mean, we saw her play two matches in the comeback so far. Had a nice win and then lost the second one.
Look, she's been through a lot in her young life, physically and emotionally. So it's great that she recognized that she needed to take that time off, that you don't feel the pressure. And, you know, maybe when you go to college, you're like, yeah, maybe I should play tennis. as difficult as tennis is, I think college is just a whole different ballgame. And, you know, we are playing a game for a living. It's like, that's as good as it gets. So I'm glad to see her back. And she's got the talent, no doubt about it. Just a matter of between the ears more than anything, I think, for her.
Good self-awareness from Amanda. And it's John's upset pick of the day, taking Anna Samova over Samsonova. How about Alicia Parks, completing the career box set of major main draws? It's her first time in Melbourne, plays a qualifier. Had some big steps last year, did Parks' first title, got to the top 40. What kind of progress do you expect to see from her, Lindsay?
I think the big focus for Alicia will be now be consistent results and trying to play her great tennis week in and week out, and had such a great year the year before in winning the championship, and her ranking went so high. Now she's got to follow it up. She proved herself as an indoor player. Mm-hmm. Now she needs to bring those weapons outdoors. Melbourne's a good environment for her. Like quick courts, can get hot and play fast. She's got a big game.
Won a doubles title in Cincy last year with our own Taylor Townsend as well. What do you like most, Martina, about Alicia Parks' game?
I like her confidence. I like her strengths. And, you know, she's a good athlete and put it to good use. So I think doubles helped her become a better singles player. And we might see better results from her on the singles court as well.
She'd be Caroline Garcia in that clip.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little foreshadowing for Naomi Osaka. But she returned to win that match. Alicia Parks has one of, what, 10? Are there 10 better servers on the WTA Tour?
No,
pure serve.
So. Yeah,
she's got a tremendous serve. And that ought to be good for a few rounds in itself.
Yeah.
All right. Big thanks for Alicia Parks this year.
We hope so.
Looking forward to it. Could be making some more appearances for Team USA as well. There's Coco Gauff getting ready to go. U.S. Open champion.
Coco Gauff.
What's that, Martina?
That looks like an injury waiting to happen.
There's a lot going on there. I thought the same thought.
It's all for the core. Got to get that core strength.
Yep.
She's chewing gum as well.
Looks tough to me.
That's a lot. A lot of activity there.
Much more still to come here on TC Live. We will reset the big storylines here from the top-seeded stars. Plus, you do not want to miss what Lindsay, Martina, and John have to say about today's matches. We get you ready for first ball in Melbourne, less than an hour away. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, beautiful Melbourne, Australia. Test your tennis IQ for a chance to win $50,000. Scan this QR code on the screen or go to tennis.com/play to enter the match point predictor game, answer questions about the action in Melbourne to win cash prizes, and become eligible for the $50,000 score. Perfect jackpot. Hurry, the deadline is Monday night. Get those things in there. Back with the 2000 Australian Open champion, Lindsay Davenport. By the way, didn't mention this earlier, but the outfits are straight
always
out of AO. Okay. Yeah, the tie, the yellow, the blue. It's all blue there in Australia. So ready to help some people make some money?
I'm so bad on these questions always, and you guys always put me on the spot here, but I'm going to do my best.
Okay, we're going to pick one of the questions today.
Okay.
This one is, how many unseeded women are going to make the quarterfinals this year? I don't like that one.
What do you think? A lot of big names that are unseeded that have been certainly to at least a semi of a slam. You've got Raducanu, you've got Osaka Grand Slam champions, you've got Kerber floating around. Okay, so I'm going to say one.
One.
Yeah.
Okay. Last year there were two. Uh-oh. Year before that, there were three.
Oh, come on. See, I needed that info first.
So it always happens. What name out of the one, I guess, are you going with? I mean, Wozniacki has an opportunity as well?
Exactly. You also have Sloane Stephens floating around there. I mean, Osaka is the one you've got probably to really think it could really make a deep run. She's won four majors before. Like her game. She doesn't have a lot of matches, though, coming in. I actually think it's going to go someone that hasn't won a major before. Mm. I think it might be kind of like an outside name. I like Mira Andreeva.
Okay.
She is in Jabeur's section, but she is going to be a Grand Slam semifinalist, a Grand Slam champion at some point. Maybe it'll be here.
I like that pick.
Do you have one?
I think I'm going Sloane Stephens.
Okay.
Because I think when she's in any draw, she can make it deep in that draw, especially when she's unseeded. You have to go all the way back to 2014, the last time at the Australian Open, that it was all seeds in the quarters.
Wow. So okay, usually, so if I said one, how many are you saying?
I'll go with two.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with two this year.
We'll talk next week.
We will talk next week and see who was right, who was wrong, and we will break it all down. But hopefully you get this one right and make all that cash. We're getting closer to the start of the 2024 Australian Open. We got all the top stories with Lindsay, Martina, and John straight ahead right here on TC Live. Welcome back. A reminder that TC Live comes your way at 5 o'clock Eastern every day. Two-hour pregame show, the only one in the biz to get you ready for first ball over on ESPN. Then at 11 a.m. Eastern, it is Tennis Channel Encore coverage with Brett Haber and Paul Anacone. Don't want to miss that either. The Australian Open, now a 15-day event. We are starting Saturday in the States, Sunday in Australia, and that means an extra day to see Novak Djokovic in action. He is starting on day one, and this is a guy that is going for all the records the sport ever has to offer. I don't think he'll get every record, Martina. don't worry. 1,000 weeks inside the top 10, probably not going to get that. Nonetheless, how about these numbers? 25 is what he's going for, to stand alone above all others. Did you ever think we were going to get to this, Lindsay?
Oh, it was, that race seemed so tight. What was it at one point? Federer at 20, Rafa at 17.
It was 2020.
And Novak, Novak was down at like 11 or 12. Seemed he was so far out of reach. And when all is said and done, he's going to be like looking way back in the rearview mirror. He's just remarkable. No signs of slowing down. He's going to add a couple this year, no doubt.
Let's hear from him inside the press room as he goes for more history.
Look, it's no secret that I verbalize my goals, and I say clearly that I want to win every slam that I participate and play on. It's no different this year. I'm just hoping I can start the season in a way that I have been starting most of my seasons and throughout my career with a win here in Australia, in Melbourne. I hope that, I'm going to be able to, if not play at the level that I did last year, then be very close to that, because that was, one of the best tennis levels that I've played.
It's absolutely incredible, John. You got to spend some time with Novak doing a great piece on 60 Minutes. Well, what did you learn about him and his kind of philosophy in coming towards these records?
It's interesting. I think he's beyond the false modesty. I mean, he knows it sounds hollow to say, boy, I'm just hoping to do my best. He knows what's at stake. He knows how absurd these records are. And he said something really interesting to me. He said, I was a chaser for so long, and now I want to be a creator. So I think he's kind of mentally moved on past this goat race, which, to his credit, he said it meant something to him. He's really proud that he was able to eclipse Roger and Rafa. And I think he sort of mentally switched to a new phase where it's about building, creating, thwarting these young kids. But sort of he's found motivation, even though the two guys that motivated him for so long aren't on the scene at this tournament.
Oh, me. Yeah, it's, he's found the secret sauce to longevity and really being able to peak for the majors. That's what tennis has become all about, just the majors. So then you really schedule yourself perfectly. And Novak has found the perfect sauce. So I don't see anybody beating him unless they get a lot better in Alcaraz to improve, especially 3 out of 5. And right now, Father Tom may be the only one that beats Novak, maybe injuries, but right now, tennis-wise, he beats you down 2 out of 3. A lot of people have a chance. 3 out of 5, he is so efficient the way he plays with his stroke production, doesn't have to run around his backhand to hit the forehand, so he's really, really efficient in energy conservation. And then he spreads the court so much, he gets everybody else so tired. They, even if they get two sets, they cannot get three. So Father Time is the best chance of beating Novak Djokovic at this stage. Yeah.
It's so true. And yet, this is the year he turns 37. All the other players we talk about that are at his age, we're like, oh, when are they going to hang it up? Why are they still coming out there? Novak, it's like he's the number one player in the world. Nobody can beat this guy. He's got a projected path to number 11. What do you see as potentially a roadblock for him, Lindsay?
It's interesting. Starts off against a player who won the juniors last year at Roland Garros. I don't know with Novak about how far ahead he looks in the draw, right? I think it's all about managing himself and his injuries getting through. Certainly, it would be great to see him play Andy Murray in the third round, maybe Ben Shelton in the fourth round, who had such a great run here last year. But really, you look towards the semis when you have Novak. You almost like skip those first few rounds. Yeah. And a great sign that he's playing on Sunday. I think if his arm or his wrist was really bothering him, he'd want as late a start as possible. The fact also that he can play on the opening day, he knows also you want to manage yourself. Now over 15 days, he's got 7 matches in 15 days. I want to start as soon as possible so I get the most amount of rest if needed. He's a master at these kind of events. He knows how to handle himself. He knows how to physically stay fresh towards the end. I think it's tough to see anyone beating him.
And I think that's a really important point. I mean, peek behind the curtain. Novak ain't playing on the opening day if Novak doesn't want to. So the fact that he was agreeable to this, I think that answers a lot of questions about his wrist. And then we showed that draw. I mean, the only other top 10 player in his quarter is Tsitsipas, who comes in with no momentum. And, oh, yeah, that's who Djokovic beat last year in the final. So as if everything else weren't lining up, that draw is pretty kind to him as well.
It certainly is. And to put it in perspective, there's a few 16-year-olds playing on the women's side in the main draw. They were one when he won his first title in Australia. That it's crazy, the longevity as well, that he's been dominant for so long. There is a young buck, though, that has beaten him before and has been number one in the world before. Carlos Alcaraz coming in to this event, missed it last year, was injured. Let's hear from Alcaraz inside the press room about trying to get back to that top spot.
Yeah, I did a good preparation coming to this year. I think right now we have to improve with the things that I didn't do well last year, for example, and trying to be better with my team and myself, obviously. But I think this year it's gonna be a good one.
I like that confidence out of Carlitos. He won 6 titles last year. He won Wimbledon. Martina got back to number one in the world. Now he's chasing once again, but can do it by the end of this tournament, depending on the results. He said himself, there are things I can do to get better. What do you think Carlos can improve on?
Most of all, managing his emotions and managing his energy in the 3 out of 5, because he's had issues with his cramps on different body parts. Different locations, Paris, Cincinnati. And so that's the biggest thing. I think he knows when to pull the trigger on the drop shots. He knows how to play the game. The faster surface should be helpful somewhat to him, because then all the weapons pay off more. But just to be able to manage that, how much energy you have for 3 out of 5 set match versus a 2 out of 3 against the top players, particularly, again, it all comes back to Novak.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. This is the first time that Carlos will be down under as a favorite, as really a rock star now. When he was last there a couple of years ago, he was a breakout star. People were curious to see what he could do. He was still a newcomer. Now he's a favorite to win the title. We'll see how those expectations weigh on him. Steve, we were also talking about at the commercial, coach isn't with him. Mm-hmm. Longtime coach. He has his coach's former coach with him. Don't think it'll make a big difference, but obviously a little different in the camp there. We know that he does rely, looks over awful lot to his camp and his group there. But just a couple of changes came late also to Australia. So we'll see if he's ready to go in the first round.
Yeah, Juan Carlos Ferro had a knee surgery, so couldn't make the trip to Melbourne. Nonetheless, his projected road to the title at the Australian Open looks like this. And what do you think of it, John?
I mean, you look at his draw. There are a lot of sort of annoying players. Mm. There are a lot of players. You know, even that first round, I doubt he's going to lose to Richard Gasquet. On the other hand, it might be his last Australian Open for Gasquet, a veteran, former top 10 player. That's a little bit of a variable. Dan Evans could be tricky. Bublik, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, see him losing in week one, but I think there's some players there that might annoy him, which may be a disguised blessing, but I think his draw is much tougher than Novak's.
Martina Lindsay brought up the point. It's a different mindset this year. You're coming in as a two-time major champion. You're coming in as somebody who folks are gunning for you. How does he deal with that?
Well, I think he handled it pretty well last year because he was number one the year before, and he ended up having a great year this last year, where everybody knows how to play him now. It was the sort of sophomore year, so he handled it beautifully. The only person he couldn't handle was Novak. I would like to see him, especially now that Juan Carlos is not there, to see him just stay on the court a little more and don't look at the box after every single point, trying to get advice or encouragement. I mean, the fans are on his side. It's not like he's the favorite and everybody's rooting against him. So just manage that energy a little bit better on the court and think things through yourself. I think that might give him confidence as well.
That'd be interesting. We were talking about the draw. Fourth round, Tommy Paul. Tommy Paul had a great run in Melbourne last year, was able to beat him last summer. That one could be a big match if Carlos isn't quite ready to go at the first major. Tommy Paul's going to be ready. He likes playing in Melbourne also, so look forward to that one if it happens.
Could be the third man in the Open era to win three major titles before turning 21. Mm-hmm. So we shall see. Hasn't been past the third round. I expect him to do that this year. Those are your two favorites on the men's side. But still to come, she hasn't lost a match since September. Are you taking Iga Świątek or the field? We will break down the top storylines on the women's side at this year's Australian Open. Davenport, Navratilova, Wertheim, and Weissman back with you. 65 major titles between the four of us. There are 14 major champions in the women's field this year. Lots of opportunity. Let's hear from some of the top contenders as they prepare to take the court.
I feel really great. I had an incredible season last year. I improved a lot as a player and as a person, and I did a really great preseason. We worked a lot, and I feel like we improved a lot. So I feel really great and feel like I'm ready to go.
I'm kind of taking it step by step, so I'm not looking that much forward. I remember last year I was looking, I was kind of analyzing what I can do throughout the whole year, and it was really, I got tired just thinking about it, So this year I'm just thinking about until the end of Australian Open, and then I'm going to think about my next goals.
All right, one step at a time. Well, yeah. We like to hear that from Iga. Comes in as the world number one. She's won 16 matches in a row, Martina, but has only been past the fourth round a single time at the Australian Open. Why do you think that is?
Probably just because it's the first tournament of the year more than anything. Especially the top players have a harder time getting enough rest in between the previous season and the new season. Maybe the weather also. Polish people are not used to that kind of a heat. So it could be that. Or just ran into good players, maybe was too nervous. It could be a whole bunch of things. So I think she's doing a good job thinking just this tournament, just this, not the rest of the year, just stay in the moment, literally play it one day at a time, and don't look too far ahead because there's nothing you can do about that. You can only deal with what's in front of you today. So I think her mindset is much, much better. And as well, there's some tweaks in her game that may make the necessary improvement needed to win this thing.
Hot take, it may have been a blessing for her that she lost that number one ranking late last year. Then she regained it. She had a lot of momentum, really played well to close out the year. She was terrific at United Cup. But, she should be the number one seed. That's her ranking. But she's only won one major off of clay. She's never even reached the final in Melbourne. I think she's probably, on paper, your favorite. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if another player. I mean, I don't think it's anything close to the men's side where, Iga versus the field, I think you got to take the field, no?
I would agree with that. Billie Jean King says you got to see it to be it. I haven't seen it yet, so we'll see. She can certainly prove it, Lindsay, but the road to is not an easy one. I mean, she hasn't been to a final, as John said. First round, she's playing somebody who won this whole thing just 4 years ago in Sophia Kennan. Second round, it's either another former champion or a finalist.
I love what she said in press, is she's trying to learn from last year's mistake, and that's number one. And maybe this draw will make her focus from the very first round. She knows she can't afford to get down on herself, look too far ahead, especially when you're playing all of these great players right off the bat, starting off with Kennan, then Collins or Kerber. It was Collins who beat her here. couple of years ago in a semifinal that Iga was a heavy favorite in. It's funny because the Australian Open plays fast, but this Grand Slam, the speed changes more so than any other major. A couple of years, it was lightning fast. Now, I think that really hurt Iga for a couple of years. Don't think it's quite as fast. It's certainly a fast hardcore, but I don't think it's like lightning anymore. So that gives Iga just a little bit more time. She needs a little bit more time. She does not like to play on super fast courts. So that has been a huge problem for her as well. She needs that little bit of time to with her grips and to get her forehand. I think things are lining up more in her favor. I don't also see a 100-degree day in the first couple of days, the first week. Who knows in the second week? I think that kind of heat really debilitates her as well.
I'm looking forward to that first-round matchup.
Yeah.
Kenin and Świątek. That is one of those blockbuster matches that we have in the first round. The returning champ, though, is Aryna Sabalenka. Check that box off. Got to number one in the world last year as well, Martina. But what is the pressure like coming back after winning your first major?
Nice problem. you don't have to doubt whether you can win it. You did it. It was the first one as well, so far the only one. But she's not done. Whenever I came to a tournament when I won the year before, I had extra confidence. I didn't look at extra pressure. I just looked at extra confidence. So she should be thrilled about it. I'm sure there's big photos of her from winning last year. So that makes you feel good. And obviously the surface suits her. About Iga and the court and Sabalenka, Iga has the most complete game of anybody. But on a faster court like this, she can get hit off the court by somebody like Sabalenka, which is possible.
It's interesting. Sabalenka cracked in the U.S. Open final against Goff, and she's spoken a lot about how the crowd really got to her. Like, she was not prepared for that, which, shame on her, shame on her team, but that crowd was always going to be 98% for Goff. Wasn't prepared, and it got to her mentally. She can't afford to have that same mistake happen again. Well, curious to see if she comes into this major with a little bit of a different mindset, if she tries to control things a little differently. Amazing accomplishment winning it 12 months ago. But once you win one, it becomes about how do I win more? Mm. She wants to stay at number one, get to number one, start to dominate. You've got to win more majors. You can't afford that mental lapse that she had in the final against Goff.
She's been so consistent. Made the semifinals at all four majors last year. Also had a hiccup at Roland Garros in that match as well. So a couple of matches where she, you know, mentally wasn't able to hold up. But hearing from her leading up to this event, she says, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Seems like her headspace, you're shaking your head. I feel like her headspace is in the right spot.
I feel like I'm the cartoon villain twirling my mustache here. Wimbledon, very winnable match late in the tournament, let it slide. As you say, that U.S. Open final, all credit to Coco Gauff, but kind of let that one slip. And then rematch of last year's final against Rybakina. She won three games a week ago. Yeah. So she's coming in, the player she beat in the final last year, she lost 0-3 to. I mean, nice player. She won this event and has stayed at the top echelon, but a lot of opportunities have really slipped through her fingers since then.
How much do we put into the warm-up match?
0-3?
Enough.
Enough.
You don't put anything in it?
No, it's not good. Yeah. I mean, if I'm coming to a tournament, that bothers me more than losing to Coco at the U.S. Open because I got nervous. But getting hit off the court like that, the way she did against Rybakina, that can't give you much confidence. That's not helpful.
All right. We'll see. Returning champ looking to go back-to-back. Somebody hasn't done that in Australia since Victoria Azarenka. Wow. It's been over a decade since somebody went back-to-back at the Australian Open. And speaking of her, guess what? Our producer, Mark Husk, was right on. He's like, we're going to show you Victoria Azarenka getting ready to go in the gym. Two-time champ at the Australian Open. More TC Live on the way, including today's match previews. Who could be primed for an early upset? Find out later in the show. Remember these faces? The champions from last year in Melbourne. Aryna Sabalenka, first major title. Djokovic, number 10 in Melbourne. Now he is up to 24 overall. Those folks, direct entries into the draw. But here's some folks who needed three matches to qualify. A couple Americans. How about Alex Kovacevic, one of four players who played college tennis that qualified for this year's Australian Open. Katie Volynets as well. Nice to see this. And how about David Goffin, former top 10 player, John, who had to qualify this year?
Yeah, some injuries, some breaks. Tough sport, this tennis. We forget. It's easy to fall. Good for these six for making the main draw. We always root for Ukrainian players. Good for Yastremska and Valinets. She was a middle weekend player last year, so nice to see her back in the main draw.
Brenda, the younger sister of Linda.
Joins her sister in the main draw.
Who's in the main draw already. Yeah.
Got sisters there. Hobart we go. This is yesterday. Two-time champ Elisa Mertens facing former NCAA champ Emma Navarro. Already the third women's final this year, Lindsay, with the top two seeds.
We know that Swiatek has been dominating 16 matches in a row, but has there been another player as dominant as Emma Navarro so far this season? And it was Andy Roddick a couple of years ago on this show was saying that you do the eyeball test in Australia. Who has done the work in the offseason? And hello, there's your winner. Emma Navarro looks like a different player. Wins her first career title. She is fit as a fiddle. She is playing confident tennis. That's a big win against Elisa Mertens. Love the way she started a year. And it is always such a huge moment when you win your first title. She was celebrating with her team.
We'll never forget Tasmania, up to career high 26 in the world right now. She's the 27th seed at the Australian Open, John. Has more wins on tour than anybody. Eight. I know everybody hasn't played yet. Right. But she's already racking up the wins. What's impressed you most about what she has done to start this season?
I think she's done, I think sort of big picture that she's done all of this without the big, cannonball into the pool at a major. I mean, we're still waiting for a big major breakthrough, and she's already seated at this event. She's just composed. She knows how to win. As you say, she looks more muscular than she did a year ago, but this has been a really nice trajectory.
And I've got to give a lot of credit to her and her schedule. I mean, she has played a schedule where she's learned to win, and she's played at all these different levels, and she keeps figuring out ways to compete and to win. And now is when the time, now she's going to have to make that jump up to the next stage and the bigger stage and play some of the players more regularly in the top 10. But what a way to do it is to do it by winning, getting confidence, and getting better each and every month.
This is just a year and a half after leaving UVA. I mean, she joins Jill Krabus, Lisa Raymond, Danielle Collins, fourth NCAA singles champ, to go on and win a WTA title in the 21st century. How far do you think she'll go in Melbourne, John?
You look at her draw and you say, well, wait a second. Well, she's seeded, so she's not going to play a player higher ranked than her until the third round at the earliest. Middle weekend, is that reasonable?
I absolutely think it is. The one caveat is, how is she emotionally? She's pretty chill out there, but you have to imagine that she was pretty excited and pretty happy to win. It is a tough turnaround. She'll have anywhere from about 48 hours, maybe a little bit more if she gets to play on Tuesday. But you've got to reset. You've got to get used to the conditions in Melbourne. And that's something when you win your first title, you're not as accustomed to doing. And then walking into a major as a seed as well, different environment, a lot of stress, a lot of pressures. So we'll see. It'll be a big test for her.
Yep. She has such an even-keeled disposition. I feel like nothing phases her in life. So we shall see. But congratulations once again, Emma Navarro. First career title. In Adelaide, a couple of 26-year-olds with six titles each, exactly 348 wins each. Playing for another trophy, Lindsay, Elena Ostapenko, Daria Kasatkina. The Russian got two walkovers into this.
Yeah, that's 2 years in a row, I believe, walkovers to be able to get through at Adelaide. But could you have more polar opposite players? A player who goes for a winner on everything and a player who doesn't like to go for winners on anything. And it was Ostapenko who was able, when she is on, there is nearly impossible to beat her. She was on fire, slice winner there. She's hitting the ball well. She's competing well. And let's not forget, she played awfully well last year. The Australian Open took out Coco Gauff there. She's going into Melbourne this year with a lot of momentum.
Broke every service game that she had a break point. 32 winners. That is title number 10. Fitting because she is back in the top 10 as well. Well, a first career title guaranteed on the men's side in Adelaide, John. It would be either Jack Draper or Yuri Lehechko.
Yeah, this could be a major semi a few years from now. Two very promising young players. Draper took the first set. Remember, Draper's the guy who took a set off of Rafa in Australia last year. We've talked a lot about his shot making. Big kid, but moves pretty well. Look at that shot, though, from Lehechko in the purple. Perfectly played. Lehechko got to the quarters of the Australian Open last year, was a real revelation. Tailed off a little bit, but he's picked up where he was last year, playing well in the Antipodes. Big kid, 22 years old. This was a really clean match on both sides. Listen to this. 24 winners, only 5 unforced errors for Draper, and he's not the player who won this match.
34 winners, 17 on-course errors for Laheshka. Again, this is the player who announced himself a year ago, and here he is the day before the tournament starts, winning his first career title.
Big stuff. Career high 23 in the world now. First Czech man to get inside the top 25 since Tomas Berdych back in 2018. Title looks good on him. Oh, we could have another first-time champ in Auckland, John. Chilean qualifier Alejandro Tabilo taking on Taro Daniel.
Yeah, who, you ask? Tabilo, a player who's barely in the top 100. He's made most of his bones on clay, but, boy, he played some terrific tennis. There's a nice topspin lob showing a little bit of variety there. Keep in mind, Auckland's about 4.5 hours from Melbourne, so whoever wins this, it's a great title, but they've got to get to Melbourne for the main draw of the Australian Open. Playing for his first career title in Tabilo. Really nice stuff around the court. Again, 37 winners to only 7 unforced errors. Playing in a final for your first title. That is rising to the occasion. Just a really solid performance against the Japanese veteran Taro Daniel. First title. Now he's got a long flight to play in the main draw in Melbourne. He's flying. He's already started.
Yeah, coach had to get a visa just to come there. It was a whole deal. But this guy's a champion. Said, honestly, I never thought we were going to be here in the final. Raising the trophy at the end. He'll make his top 50 debut on Monday. Pretty impressive stuff.
Ah, look at that.
I mean, is he a rock star or what?
Love it.
Man.
Love it.
The tinted shades.
It's like Daisy Jones.
Looks like a member of the Beatles. And then the antithesis of that.
Yeah.
We've got Squidward. Daniil Medvedev walking into the room. Two-time runner-up at the Australian Open. Not a lot of folks talking about Medi right now.
Well, and he didn't play a match coming in, so we haven't had a whole lot of reason to discuss it.
A couple of, we talked about that with Alcaraz, Sinner, and Medvedev all just deciding to start their season in Melbourne, but not Rublev. He's rocking the confidence early this season.
That's actually how Wertheim walks into the green room when he comes to work.
He's the front man for what band that's playing Rod Laver tonight?
But he was in a band, wasn't he?
Yes.
Oh, yes, right.
That's what I mean. He really was.
For leftover from his musician days. That's a good look.
He knows what's up. Still to come, it is our Bet 365 match preview. The odds on Yannick Sinner's first match. He's got that new commercial place, an astronaut, a chef. But will he fill the role of major champion in Melbourne? We will find out. Back on TC Live, don't miss your chance at $100,000. Play Racket Bracket and choose the round-by-round winners in Melbourne. Win cash prizes, including $50,000 jackpots for perfect men's or women's picks. Scan the QR code on your screen or visit tennis.com/play to enter. And hurry, the deadline is Tuesday night. Time now for our Bet 365 match preview. It is the first match inside Rod Laver Arena. Yannick Sinner, top 4 seed in a major for the first time, heavily favored against the former top 25 player. Botic Vandeschulp has made a quarterfinal, the hardcourt major before. John, what do you think of these odds?
I think that's about right. Former top 25 player for the Dutchman, but now he's outside the top 50. And Sinner, we shall see. This is like, Lindsay, you know how you're a teenager? Sometimes you just let them sleep. You don't set an alarm. That's a little bit like how Sinner is with this season. So maybe he'll be a little rusty, this being his first official match of the year. But I think it's probably a good sign that he gave himself some extra rest.
Yeah, it was a tough end of the year for him because he had Davis Cup after Sinner, the ATP Finals, and he needed a little bit more time. You also want time to rest, but then you also need time to train. So we'll see. He will be a little bit rusty, but he's hoping he can play his way into this tournament this first week.
2 wins over Novak Djokovic at the end of last year. But before that, I was like, I don't think he has it. And I was like, kid's a killer. He's got it. Also had wins over Alcaraz, Medvedev, Runa. Does that make you think, John, that he has what it takes to be a major champion?
Yeah, those 2 wins over Novak, those were win-wins.
Yeah.
I mean, those were like staring and not blinking wins. That showed us a lot. That ought to give him a lot of confidence. This is someone we always knew about the talent. We always had a lovely guy. Does he have that sort of, what our friend Mary Carrillo calls fangs? Does he have that killer instinct? He showed so much the last 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, what did you see from him?
Well, you never really know if a player's born with it or can you develop it and many different areas, and that is one area that's really tough to just develop. All of a sudden become really rock solid, really mentally tough, really believe that you can beat the best ever. And something changed in Sinner last season. Midway through the season to the end, he was a different kind of competitor out there. So a huge kudos to his team for getting him into that mindset.
He's got a coach in his box with a nickname killer.
Yeah.
So that could help as well, Cahill. What area of his game, John, do you think he could still improve upon?
I mean, some of it is just durability. This day we've seen some matches. We've been physically compromised. But a lot of it is just what happens when it's four all in the decisive set. And there's a pretty strong body of work in the past that said this is when he wilt. So I think that's why the last, you know, three, four tournaments of last year were that much more important for him.
We've said it a couple of times this show. We got to see it. You got to see seven wins in a 3 out of 5 set match. Yeah. But because he's got the game, he's building towards that. It seems like it's inevitable, but we have to see it. And especially with Novak. And I just don't think that Novak's going to say, like, oh, okay. It's your turn here in Melbourne. No chance. I mean, he's going to lock it down even more. And we hope we get that semifinal. That would be a dream match to be able to see.
I didn't believe Alcaraz could do it at Wimbledon
until
he did it.
He did it.
Exactly.
If
now you believe.
He will. Yeah. But let's just see when it is.
All right, let's enter the social net. And we showed this at the beginning of the show, but Casper Ruud and the 424 ball kids at the Australian Open. Lindsay, I don't know. Like, you toss the ball up, you want to catch it, right? Like, that's not just...
they didn't all catch it. It's probably hard to do a retake also, right?
Casper did.
Caught his.
He's a good
John,
sport.
Casper can do some.
Error on the shortstop. Record number of ball kids at this event. Good for Casper Ruud. But yeah, that's a. If I'm the ball kid coordinator, I'm thinking that's a that's a dispiriting number of bouncing balls, missing catches. All right, good time, guys.
You don't always catch your caps though, like at a graduation,
that's true.
Right?
That's true. That's part of the. Is that maybe that's what they were?
I don't know.
If you were hired as a cap catcher, though. All right, never mind. What else we got?
Craig Tiley, the tournament director, will be on the show tomorrow. We'll ask him. Maybe this was just, you know, to get a photo of all the tennis balls in the air. Rafa, sadly, will not be with us at the Australian Open this year, but we did get some shots of future Rafa.
Yeah, this was in Brisbane, a tournament at the park. It's so adorable. Rafa traveled with his family down there. We wish we would have seen this in Melbourne. Yeah. So cute, though, huh?
Not pirate shorts. Notice he's gripping the racket with his right hand. But as we know, that is not necessarily dispositive. Like his dad, he may be able to transition to lefty. That's adorable, though.
Yeah. Amazing.
John, any insight onto when you think we're going to see Rafa again?
It's a good question, and I think he really wants to play tennis. Well, the Indian Wells, maybe. I hate to speculate, but I do think he really wants to give this thing a go. And part of the reason he's not playing is precautionary, not because he's completely immobilized.
He's got that big match coming up in Vegas against Carlos Alcaraz right before Indian Wells, so
it's a good reason to head
good
west.
Good reason to come back.
I think Netflix definitely wants him to be healthy by then. But anytime we can see Rafa is a good time. And how about
that grip? What do we think of the grip?
Western? Is it Western?
Speaking of.
Oh, what a chance. The legend, 4-time Australian Open champion, Andre Agassi, in the house. We saw him on social hitting balls the other day. Didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, he looks phenomenal as well. So great to see him back in the tennis world.
Absolutely. I mean, some folks say Federer, Nadal, Djokovic. That's my guy right there for life. Andre Agassi, favorite player. And when he is involved in the game, it is a good time. Back with more TC Lab after this. Back on TC Live, just moments away from first ball, year's first major. Get hyped. Have we heard the music? John, it's time for your stat of the day. I need the tune.
Yes.
They're singing my song. There we go. We were talking about Alcaraz earlier, and look at this. If he gets to the semifinals, he will join these seven players to get to the semis of all four majors. Keep in mind, this is only his third Australian Open, and he's 20 years old, so that would be quite an achievement and quite... that's a pretty elevated company he would find himself in. The big three, plus Andy Murray, Safin Burdick, and Marin Cilic. Stan Wawrinka, who has won 3 majors, has never gone to the semis of Wimbledon. So Alcaraz, big opportunity to keep going. Again, didn't play last year, so we'll see what he can do this year.
Like
20 years old.
Great
good.
Trivia question.
Good, right?
That was
that's good. All right.
I liked it.
All right.
That's starting off with a bam, John. I mean,
14 more days. Keep coming back, folks. More where that came
and
from.
You got to watch the whole show.
Exactly.
It doesn't come until the end.
Exactly.
We're going to drop it in a different time. So you got to watch the whole show.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, you don't want to.
Like the ambush Wertheim stat of the day.
Just warm it up, kids. Just limber it up.
Speaking right. of hot things, okay. it's our hot shot going? Of the okay. day.
Where is it from?
This is Bublik. Oh. Man. Did you see this, Lynn?
No. Where is
no,
it?
Watch this. This is Rice.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, we're not done.
That's the plus one.
Adelaide.
Plus one,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
Looks like you.
What?
Pretty good. Watch this.
Oh, yeah, Draper. Give it right back.
Just missed. Just missed. Oh. You should see Lindsay's face. Like,
I thought I made it. I hadn't seen this one. Has everyone
Watching
seen
it?
It? I thought he made this.
No, just missed it.
Oh.
And for my next trick, watch this.
Yeah.
You ever see this
what
one,
do you,
Lindsay?
Do you guys, what did
Liz,
you see
you ever
see
this? Look at this.
Didn't ask and took a potato chip. I don't know. Salt in the middle of a match?
Yeah, are you looking not, for,
yeah
that's good.
That's good. Oh, so we're running it back for you.
Okay. I'm still confused what happened, but double. Okay.
I don't know if you needed to hit that shot.
I think that's why he does it.
That's talent.
That's just, yeah. All right, this is number two.
Well, we already saw this, right?
Yeah, but there was yeah. playing it back for you.
Oh, okay. Oh, Joe Erwin.
It was John's the first time. No, it's yours. You're okay. Equal opportunity.
He misses that. That's great shot making. Fun stuff when you get Bublik on the court. A little bit like Kyrgios when maybe we'll get him back out some point this year.
I hope so.
I was going to say, in the absence
He's working
of,
hard, yeah, though.
In the absence of Kyrgios, this is your guy right here. Look at this.
Kyrgios, you know.
Is that a Chris?
With us on Tennis Channel. Now he's working for like three networks, I think, in Australia, plus the tournament. Had a great interview with Coco the other day and Novak. That was fun to
Love
watch.
Love that Bublik. God. He's seeded, but he's a wild card.
There you go. Ba-dum-bum. Featured matches today starting momentarily. It's actually noon for Jannik Sinner on Rod Laver. The outside courts are at 11 a.m. Australian time. That is tomorrow. Maria Sakkari in action. Novak Djokovic, Caroline Wozniacki, Aryna Sabalenka. Let's talk about some of these matches. And the fact that Novak Djokovic has won this title 10 times, 24-time major champ, I just want to give a little bit of love to Dino Prismic,
yes,
who's an 18-year-old qualifying for his first major, started playing tennis at the same club in Croatia as Goran Ivanišević, who, by the way, full circle, coaches Novak Djokovic, won the Roland Garros Juniors. You talked about that earlier. Also won a challenger title last year. First guy to do that since Stan Wawrinka,
He's
like
coming.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
So just we may not be able to talk about him the rest of the 2 weeks, but give Dino a little love.
And it's a small tennis world, especially in Croatia and that region. So these guys know him already. They've been watching him for years. A huge moment. We were talking about it earlier. I think Dino would have preferred second round, trying to get some ranking points as he's trying to build his ranking up. But what a moment it will be for him.
Let's also point out he is half, 50%. Djokovic's age, to give you an idea of longevity. But no, I think that's a good point you raised. You know, here's this kid, junior champion, a real junior resume. I'm sure he and Novak know each other from the Balkans. If he'd won one match and then gotten to play the great champion on the big court, that would probably have been ideal. But, man, what a week for this kid. And remember
Amazing.
The name, because that junior resume is no joke.
There's also a winner of last year's Australian Open Juniors on the girls' side, Kornieva. Yeah, she also qualified. We had Fruvitova. These young juniors, they're coming, and they are so good.
Now, Kornieva beat Andreeva, who's now one of the top six players. So imagine how good she is.
Favorites to win the title.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Imagine how good she is.
Maybe playing like the real final in a couple years. Yeah. We'll see. Sabalenka, she's won 13 straight first-round matches at majors. Yeah. Ella Seidel is making her Grand Slam main draw debut. So
it's a good draw for Sabalenka. I think so. And I think also when you're defending your first Grand Slam title, I think that she would be thrilled with this, as opposed to it could have been Osaka, it could have been a lot of other players. She's got a match she'd be able to try and control. Obviously, Seidel has nothing to lose, but Sabalenka with that experience, especially on the show courts.
Yeah, I remember we talked before about how you never necessarily like to start off a title defense against someone you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, a qualifier ranked outside the top 100. And in theory, I think Sabalenka ought to be okay and ought to be okay with her draw today.
All right. The two returning champions should be fairly routine.
We ready for no sleep?
Today.
No We're sleep ready for no 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Come on.
That's right. 15 days of no sleep for us. TC Live comes your way every day. It's your only two-hour pregame show. Most Hall of Famers you'll find on any tennis program. 5 o'clock Eastern is where we are. Brett and Paul have you covered with the encores at 11 a.m. Eastern. And we are set to go. We're just moments away from first ball. Enjoy day one of the Australian Open. We will see you back here tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern. Thank you so much for joining us on TC Live.